Hello, my name is Josh McCarthy, and I want to welcome you to another edition of our Ask the Experts weekend here on 104.5 WOKV Jacksonville's News and Talk. And this show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow.
Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. Well, you did it. You got out of bed, you yawned and stretched, and right out of the gate, you made one of the best decisions you're going to make this Sunday morning, and that is listening to Hard Worka with Pete the Job Guy. And why is that a good decision? Well, let me tell you why. Because this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. And who is that? Well, the workforce of today is you. It's me. It's your friends, your coworkers. We're all hard workers, right? Right? We're in the workforce. Why? Well, because maybe we want to provide better for our kids than we had ourselves when we grew up. Or maybe we want to buy something that's bright, new, shiny, and pretty, so we work hard so that we can pay for it. But money doesn't come to us for free, right? We're not trust fund babies sitting on a big pile of $100 bills, just throwing them up in the air and not caring where they land, right? We work for a living. So this show is dedicated to you hard workers, and it's also dedicated to the workforce of tomorrow. That's your kids. That's the young folks that are coming up in the world. We want to make sure we give them tips. We give them advice that will help them to have a fulfilling career. And if you're in the workforce, we're going to give you tips and advice to help you to be more effective and productive. We do this every week. I give you these tips, my wonderful recurring guests, Coach Larry, etc. And the guests that I have each week that come on the show, they tell you about their career journeys. They tell you about the great companies that they represent and the organizations that they represent. And all of this is designed to help you, the hard workers of today and tomorrow. So today I have a great guest, and I'm going to tell you about him in a second and introduce him to you. But right now, I'm going to start off the show with my little monologue, a little Pete-ism or a little quip or a bit of advice that I give each week that'll help you along the way. So if you're old school like me, grab a pen and a piece of paper and jot down some notes, and then commit to doing something differently as a result of what you hear. And I'm telling you, you'll be the better for it. But if you're new school like all the millennials, never mind a pad and paper. You haven't even used that in a while. Grab your device du jour and get your thumbs ready and get cranking and take your notes that way. But this is a good time to listen up and take a note or two. All right, guys, you know, working full time, right? When I say I'm a full time worker, most people think, how many hours is that a week? Well, it's a full 40, a lot of people say, 40 hours a week. And employers, when they base your salary, and let's say your salary, not hourly, they base that on a 40-hour week. That's the generally accepted work week in America, is 40 hours. Now, if you work hourly or you're a temporary worker and you work hourly, same thing, you're filling out a timesheet each week. We see a more balanced look at what people actually work for a week that are authorized to work a full 40. Now, stay with me here, okay? If you're authorized to work 40 hours a week, what happens here in America, U.S. workers, they work an average of 34.4 hours a week. That means once or twice a week, they come in a little bit late, or they knock off a little early. They don't work a full 40. So what's happening is the companies, the organizations in America, you're getting ripped off, people. People are stealing time from you. They're not working a full week. And let me tell you, I run a staffing agency. I've run staffing agencies for over 20 years. And I'm going to tell you, I did this one exercise a while back where we had over 2,000 temporary employees working every week. Those 2,000 employees were authorized to work 40 hours a week. These aren't part-time. This is not skewed by part-time workers. These are 2,000 authorized to work 40 hours a week temporary employees. I looked at what the how many hours they were actually working per week. Our folks worked a little bit more than that now. national average of 34.4, they worked 36 hours per week. Okay, we were able to bring that from 36 hours a week to 38.5 hours a week by just talking to them, telling folks that, you know, the number one reason that temporary assignments end is because people don't work full weeks. They come in late, they leave early, they're not doing what they're paid to do or what they're authorized to do because the company needs that full 40. So just by doing this exercise of talking to them each week, listen, you're supposed to work a full 40. If you're going to be late, you call us. You're going to leave early. You call us. You work 40. I don't want to see you get fired. I want you to get, you'll make more money. Hello, you're paid hourly, but we don't want to see you get fired. We did this exercise. Within 2 weeks, we had them gain 2.5 hours. It was like for our company, which is based on billable hours, that's how we make money. We gained, without netting any more temps out on billing, we gained 5,000 weekly billable hours, okay, because people actually did what they were authorized to do. So I tell you, employers out there, watch your folks. Watch your folks. Talk to them about working 40 hours a week. Tell people, listen, life gets in the way. Sometimes you'll have to come in a little bit late, or you'll have to leave a little bit early or have an appointment, but make it up. Come in earlier the next day or stay a little later the next day. Do what you're authorized to do and what you're paid to do, if you're an employee, what you're supposed to do for your employer. And if your employer, watch this. Watch this closely, because you could gain hidden revenue. You have missed opportunity right there. Watch it. Monitor it. Don't be crazy and be some kind of ogre about it, but roll it out in a manner that helps people. This company is producing this. We could produce this if everybody just worked what they're authorized and expected to work. All right. Getting off my soapbox, people. I told you I have a great guest today. And today, my guest is a returning guest. I'm very proud today to have as a guest on my show, Nick Howland. Welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Thank you, Pete. And what a great opening monologue.
Did you like that?
I did.
Good, good. Well, I'm going to dial down the energy just a little bit right here. But, Nick, I want to introduce the listeners to who you are and what you're about. I have a little bio. I'm gonna read part of it, although I know it pretty well. Nick Howland is a Navy veteran, businessman, husband, and father of two boys. After serving in the Navy, Nick went into the, Nick went to work in the defense industry. It was Armor Holdings. Everybody knows that company in town. A body armor manufacturer headquartered in Jacksonville. That brought Nick and his family here in 2007. And Nick has been in the military and marine life-saving products industry ever since. Nick has kept close watch on the growing national tragedy of veteran suicide, over the past 10 years. When asked in January to take the helm of our new regional effort to stop it, the Fire Watch, he jumped on it. Having spent a career working to save the lives of soldiers and sailors, Nick looks forward to helping the Fire Watch team save the lives of veterans. Wow, Nick, what a noble, noble cause. You know, tell us, let's dive right in first. Let's learn a little bit more about you and your military service.
Sure, Pete. Thank you. I grew up in Chicago, went to school in North Carolina, was in a Navy ROTC, and then served 2 years on a guided missile destroyer out on the West Coast. I then did 2 years at a special boat unit, a Navy SEAL unit. I wasn't a SEAL. I was the guy they asked to drop them off and pick them up in a riverine environment. Really
still,
enjoyed
you know,
that.
Somehow there's an affiliation with SEAL right there.
Kinda.
Yeah. No stolen valor here, but right. there's an affiliation.
Very good point. You can get in trouble for that.
Right.
Really enjoyed that. So it was in about 4 years, and I got out just prior to 9/11. I was in business school during 9/11, thinking about maybe going banking, what have you, and watched all of my friends gear up for war who were still back in the service, the SEALs, the ship drivers, and I had a bit of a crisis of purpose. Then Raytheon, a defense manufacturer, came to recruit, and I jumped on that chance. I went to work for Raytheon after business school, did work for them for a while. Armor Holdings brought me to Jacksonville and spent the rest of my career basically building military and marine life-saving products.
Well, you know, and your experience kind of brought you right into that, the companies that you work for. You know, what I love about military service is that sense of mission, the purpose, the unquestioned reliability, because, you know, you can't phone it in when you, you know, you have general quarters called or you have something. You have to be there, but there's that purpose, and you have led a purpose-driven life. I think that's a very fair statement since your military service.
Yeah, and not only mission, but combine that with a sense of brotherhood or sisterhood with your fellow soldiers and sailors and airmen, so that never leaves you.
Right.
Never leaves you when you've been in the service, as you know. And when, you know, all my friends now are starting to retire, and I've been watching this national tragedy of veteran suicide for the last 10 years, and we're fortunate in the Jacksonville and the five-county area, Clay, Baker, Duval, Nassau, and St. John's, to have a bunch of commissioners and city councilmen who care about it. They're not waiting for a national effort to stop this. They decided to find a way to stop it on their own in our own local community, and they created the Fire Watch last summer. It was officially created by ordinance just prior to Veterans Day in 2019.
Wow, and that's good that they're proactive like that, and we have people like that in the seats that we need them in.
Absolutely.
You know, sadly, veteran suicide is something that we hear too much about, you know, much too much about in the news. And, you know, can you give us an idea of some of the numbers and kind of drive it home a little bit so the listeners can understand?
The numbers are disturbing. In 2017, we had 6,139 veterans die by suicide.
Oh, wow.
Nationwide. In Florida, 512. 90% of that are men, 10% are women. But the women veterans are dying at a rate of 2.2 times the rate of non-veteran women. Veteran men are dying at a rate of about 1.2 higher than non-veteran men. And the worst demographic where we're having the highest rate of suicide is in the 18 to 34-year-old category of veterans.
Oh, wow.
It's almost three times in that category for veterans versus non-veterans.
You know, as a veteran myself, 7 years in the Navy that I spent in, when I left, I also left a sense of identity. You know, when I was in, I really didn't have a first name back then. I was Petty Officer Langlois. There wasn't no Pete the job guy. Right? I was Petty Officer Langlois for a very long time. So I guess, you know, when you lose the uniform, you know, you're kind of excited about your next step. But that transition was very, very difficult for me. And it's difficult for a lot of people before I kind of found my footing. And in that age range, it sounds like it could be within a transitional period.
Absolutely. The transitional period for 2 years after separation from the military is one of the highest risk factors in veteran suicide right now.
Wow.
Really, a lot of the issues revolve around the sense of disconnectedness. Because, again, there's a brotherhood or a sisterhood you have when you're an active duty military member. And when you get out, you lose that.
Right. And, you know, I know from experience in the military, I wasn't in a huge decision-making mode. I was told where to be and when for a large part of my day. Here's where you eat. Here's where you will be. And it even gets deeper when you go out on the ship. I was stationed at Cecil Field, which is, you know, no longer in existence. I was on the Saratoga, which is decommissioned. And I worked on A7E Corsairs, which are decommissioned. I'm old, okay? But the whole time I was in, there was a plan for me. And I followed the plan. And you know, and then when I got out, it's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, where am I supposed to be? Who's telling me? Me.
Right. Yeah, the military deposits your money, you know, directly. They even help you buy a car. I mean, your hand is held the whole time when you're in the military. You know where to go.
Right.
And when you separate from active duty, it all changes.
So let's dive into this. So what is the overall purpose of the Fire Watch?
Simply put, to end veteran suicide in the Northeast Florida region. That is the goal of the Firewatch.
And that is very, very noble. Well, tell us about your role as executive director.
Yeah. So I've been watching the Firewatch unfold. Again, it was officially put in place in November, and the first official meeting was in December. And I reached out to Councilman Rory Diamond, who's also the CEO of Canines for Warriors, one of the originators of the Firewatch Council, and asked how he could help. He asked if I would stand in and become executive director and launch the whole organization. So I started doing that in January, and I'm thrilled. I've never been more excited to get up and go to work than I am now.
Oh, that is true. I can't think of a better person to be the executive director of the Firewatch than you, Nick. I seriously can't. You know, right now is a good time to take a quick break and listen to this message from our show sponsor. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
Welcome back, you hard workers. Yeah, that was our show sponsor. And you heard Angie talk about Angie's Staffing. Well, update alert, folks. There is no more Angie's Staffing. Angie's Staffing was acquired by Ascendo Resources. But don't fret, because Angie is one of the managing partners here locally for Ascendo Resources. I know, because I'm the other managing partner. She's my wife. Angie Langlois is my wife. We run Ascendo Resources right here in town. So reach out to Andy, Angie, and Ascendo, because she's bringing back the hustle. All right, guys, today, if you missed the opening of the show, my guest is Nick Howland. Nick is the executive director of the Firewatch, and the mission of the Firewatch is to simply end veteran suicide. I can't think of a more noble cause or a better executive director than Nick Howland. Nick, what are some of the programs or initiatives we can expect to see as the Firewatch launches this spring and into the summer?
Great question, Pete. You will see two categories of programs. The first one is community coordination. Now, the Firewatch is a multi-jurisdictional government entity set up by the five counties in Northeast Florida. I mentioned them before: Baker, Clay, Duval, Nassau, and St. John's. So from a community coordination standpoint, you'll see us collecting data so we can get perfect data on veteran suicide in the past. So therefore, we have a benchmark of how we improve as we launch our programs. You'll see us bring down a organization called the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Systems Administration, SAMHSA, part of the U.S. federal government's Department of Health and Human Services. They're going to come down and with a whole host of first responders, healthcare workers, mental health workers, and veteran service organizations, they're going to help us work through what they call a crisis intercept mapping process to know where we're weak in our five-county region in delivering services for veterans in crisis.
Wow, data. This is data.
The community coordination point is really all about data, because when we collect our weak spots and we know exactly where veterans are and what the data is showing on when they're most likely to die by suicide and what the risk factors are, we're going to be able to, as a community multi-jurisdictional entity, focus resources on closing those gaps to improve our crisis care continuum for our veterans. That's the community coordination piece.
That's one element of
That's
it.
That's just one element. The probably the most important and the most visible element that everyone will see is what we're calling our community outreach group of programs. And what I'm most excited about is we're going to launch a program called the Watchstander Program, the Firewatch Watchstander Program. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do there is we're going to mobilize 10,000-plus veterans in the five-county region.
I know one.
Yeah, and I'm another. So we're both watchstanders, right? And what we'll be doing is giving some basic training on identifying risk factors and what resources are available to veterans in the five-county area. And these watchstanders are going to be responsible for, when they identify a veteran in crisis at a veteran event in town or in one of the counties, they can direct them to the resources they need. So we're mobilizing veterans to watch out for each other and to send veterans to a plethora of wonderful resources that are available to them in our five-county region. There's no shortage of great services to help, as you mentioned before, Pete, in the transition from the military to civilian life, to help homeless veterans, which we need to ensure that our homeless veteran resources are shored up, because they're five times more likely to commit suicide, and other areas at risk, such as veterans with financial crisis. There is no shortage of resources we have in our five-county region. We just need to make sure that we're getting our veterans to those resources.
The cause is noble. The plan, it sounds like it's well thought out, well planned. All these things take money. You know, yes. How on earth will these be funded?
Yes. Well, the five counties all submitted seed funding. So we're initially funded right now to start up some of these programs. We also have an appropriation running through Tallahassee since they're in session right now that we're hoping survives. And a third area is concurrent with these five commissioners and councilmen who started the Firewatch process last summer was a national dialogue when the president signed an appropriations bill for the VA. He also created something called the Prevents Task Force from a national strategy standpoint. And they're responsible for helping kind of create a nationwide strategy to end veteran suicide. And they also have created a grant fund. So we're hoping to be able to target some of those grants from a federal standpoint to support some of these programs.
Right. You know what, Nick? This strikes a nerve with me or a chord with me. I don't know what the saying is, but I tell you, this inspires me. And, you know, not only am I a veteran, I'm a citizen that wants to help veterans that might be at a crisis mode. Is there something I can do? And maybe the listeners that feel the same way I do, they're probably compelled to, you know, raise their hand and say, I'd like to volunteer. I'd like to offer my services, whatever I can do to help out. Can people volunteer?
Yes, they can. Thanks for asking. And I am a volunteer, and I'm glad that you're going to be a volunteer. We can all be watchstanders. And that process, you can enroll right now on our website, at least get into our mailing list, and we will roll out the watchstander program in May, probably with a big kickoff on or around Memorial Day. So right now you can go to www.thefirewatch.org and enroll with your name and number and email address, and you'll be in our mailing list, so you'll be one of the first to receive the details when we roll out the watchstander program.
Fantastic. Thefirewatch.org. That's great. So how can listeners find out more? You know, I want to learn more about the Firewatch, learn more about veteran suicide and this program. How can they learn more?
Well, you can also download an app at the App Store. We have created an app for the Firewatch, and you just go in the App Store and you put that in there. You'll find it and you can download it. But a lot of information, including our strategic plan, is listed in the website. So thefirewatch.org. And, you know, I wanted to bring up one more thing because you brought up when you were a petty officer back in the Navy. When I was on a destroyer in the West Coast, I was in charge of about 40 guys in the operations division. And I remember being back in from sea one weekend in San Diego in my apartment and getting a call. And this was back in like 96 when they had cords on the phones,
It
wasn't a mobile phone. Yeah. And it was a petty officer of mine, a third class petty officer, who told me he had a knife to his throat. He had been having significant marital issues. We had been at sea a lot, so that had been trying on him and his family. And I didn't know what to do. I luckily had a roommate at the time. I asked him to go to the next apartment next door, pick up the phone and call my chief, who then drove and met that third class petty officer and basically stood with him for all day and all night until the third class petty officer took the knife away from his throat and everything was fine. And then he got the third class petty officer the help that he needed, mental health counseling. And that petty officer knew to reach out to a shipmate.
Yeah.
And that's what they have in the military. They have that sense of brotherhood and that sense of sisterhood. When you're a veteran and you're out there and you're in a rural area or you come to work every day and you're in your cubicle at your IT company and you don't reach out to the one next to you like that because there's no sense of brotherhood and sisterhood. That's what our Watchstander program is attempting to replicate. We'll never be able to replicate that sense of belongingness and sisterhood and brotherhood that exists in the military, but we're going to do our best with this Watchstander program. Right. You know, we are motivating and mobilizing veterans who care to watch out for each other, and we hope that a veteran in crisis is going to be more likely to reach out to another veteran for help than a non-veteran.
So well said. I mean, some of my best friends for over 30 years are the folks, the people that I met when I was 18, 19, 20 years old. They're still my friends, and we've weathered the same storms together. We crossed Gaddafi's line of death and shot gunboats out together, and when the gunboats, we were inside the missile radius when they were hit, and you face that, and you just feel this connection that we're there. Austin Danny, who's a regular contributor to the show, and he will hear his segment at the end of the show, but he went to boot camp with me. Okay.
Yep.
I mean, these are lifelong friends. So when we have hard times, who do we talk to? We reach out to each other, and it's very hard to communicate that to you know, people that haven't lived what we lived with or lived as closely as we have, you know,
absolutely,
and shared so much. I want to ask you this question, Nick. Knowing everything you know now, you know, your success in business, the fire watch, your military career, being a father, all this, what advice would you, if you could go back in time, what advice would you give 19-year-old Nick and say, Nick, hey, I want to tell you this, you know, and I've learned a lot, buddy. Put the hand on the shoulder and say, Nick, let me just tell you this basic thing. It's going to help you in life.
That's a tough question. But I would say work hard, which is consistent with hard worker, right?
Yes, sir.
I would say follow your passion and do what interests you. When I say that because I was at a career crossroads when I was in business school when 9/11 happened, and I did have a crisis of purpose, and I thought about going to be a banker, and you know, and that would have not been following my passion. My passion became keeping my shipmates safe and participating in the global war on terror in some way, shape, or fashion, because it was a fundamental issue that was facing our country at the time, and it's given me all sorts of return, and not necessarily financial, but just satisfaction. And I've been lucky in life from that perspective.
That is great. Once again, let's get the website and tell the folks how to download that app, if you would, Nick.
Sure. You can find the app on the App Store, and the website is thefirewatch.org.
Fantastic. Nick, thank you so much for being on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Thank you, Pete. Really appreciate it.
Okay. That music tells us we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. Stay with us and return for the second half. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV. All you hard workers. Well, wow. This is the second half of the show. If you missed the first half, shame on you. What the heck is the matter with you? You should know by now to set your alarms for 8 o'clock every Sunday morning, because this show is that important. Gosh, all the free career advice that you get, the great guests that I have every week. Who has guests like me? If you listen to this show, which I hope you do weekly, and I'm asking you this, who the heck has great guests like me? Nobody. Nobody. And if you want me to prove it and you don't listen to the show, just go to my website, PeteTheJobGuy.com, and then you go to radio show, and then under radio show, click episodes, and it'll show you a picture and the topic of every single guest that I've ever had, what they talk about, but you can listen to that podcast in its entirety. And this one is one you're going to listen to, the show today, because my guest in the first half was Nick Howland. And Nick is the executive director of the Fire Watch. And that, I'm telling you, the Fire Watch is dedicated to preventing veteran suicide. And if you heard Nick tell you, the number of veterans that are killing themselves is staggering. It is terrible. And I'm so glad that there is an organization right here in Jacksonville, the Fire Watch, dedicated to just preventing that. And I can't think of a better person to be in charge of it than Nick Howland, you know, a former Navy officer who's worked, you know, in preventing the deaths of sailors and folks for many, many years. This is what he's done. He's made a lifetime in this space, but this is a perfect role for him. And I was so thankful to have him on the show. I want you to go and listen to the show in its entirety. The podcast will be loaded up probably Monday afternoon or on Tuesday morning. But go to PeteTheJobGuy.com and listen to this show. Learn about it. And I hope it moved you, if you listened to the first half already, it moves you to do something about it. Volunteer. Get involved. And if your schedule doesn't permit that, donate money. But go to thefirewatch.org, or as Nick says, www.thefirewatch.org. I always get busted when I say the www. People say, that's implied nowadays, knucklehead, grandpa. Yeah. I'm just busted on you, Nick. Guys, you know this show. You know me as Pete the Job Guy. But my name is Pete Langlois, and I have run staffing agencies in Jacksonville for over 20 years. I give career advice, and I always caution people, if you're going to get any kind of advice from anybody, Make sure it's an expert or somebody's actually good at what they do. You know, it's funny when I see, there's bloggers and people that give advice on InstaFace or, you know, any of the Instagram thing. I'm being a little facetious, but, you know, some people want to give you deep relationship advice and they're, you know, 22 years old and they're on the beach in their bikini telling you, you know, this is the way you should live your life. And they're spouting out little snippets of wisdom that sound great, but have you lived it? Have you been through a lot? Have you demonstrated success in your relationships over long periods of time that you should give us that kind of advice? You know, for me, I'm a career expert. You know, my last company that I had and successfully sold a few years ago was a $120 million national staffing agency with 37 offices nationally and over 400 employees. I've been through everything. I've seen it all. And when I tell you, when I give people advice in their careers, right, it's from a position of experience and one where I've seen it, I've been there, I've done that. You got to think, as a staffing expert like I am, I've helped more people in their careers. I mean, when I say thousands and thousands of people, that's just not arbitrary numbers. I mean, that's legitimate. I've helped a lot of people. Some of the people I help, they're really at a very vulnerable spot in their lives. They need a job. They need income to put food on the table or to meet their financial obligations. And I help them find that job. For other people, I just help them with that next step in their professional career. Maybe they're at a company where there's no career track. They're stifled and they want to grow. They want more. They might want to make more money or get promoted. They might want to be closer to home or have a work-life balance. You know, I help folks. I help folks find those jobs that will improve their lives. On the other side of the coin, I help companies find the talent that they need to either grow their companies or their business. Some companies, I just provide what we call just-in-time resources. Maybe they need, you know, six people to help on a technology side. They've gone through an upgrade, a conversion, or a migration. And you just need six people to help, you know, get everything set up, put everything together, or roll it out, or put through the upgrade. You know, and you reach out to me, Pete the job guy, and I supply talent that can help you do it. I vet everybody. I screen them. I check managerial references. I validate work history and make sure that the people that I'm representing to these great firms here in North Florida can actually walk in and add value at what they're expected to do. That's why you call me. And when you call an agency and you reach out to your staffing person, whoever it is, take a look at their credentials, their experience. You know, I've worked in technology and accounting for years and years and years. I'm old, folks. My first number in my age is a 5, and my second one is more than 4. I'll tell you that much. Do the math. It's pretty easy. I've been doing this a while. This is my chosen profession. This isn't something I'm going to do for a year and a half, 2 years, and then move on to something else. This is what I choose to do, because when my head hits the pillow, I can say I help people day in and day out. I'm a professional recruiter, and I change people's lives one phone call at a time. Guys, this next part of the show is one of my favorite parts, if not my favorite part. Every week, Coach Larry O'Brien gives us a leadership lesson that helps all of us that are managers to actually become effective leaders. And we know there's a big difference between being a manager and a leader, right? Well, Coach Larry is the person to fill in that gap and help you to be a successful leader. With no further ado, let's get this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
I was delivering a keynote speech on the benefits of using a coaching leadership style to 200 attorneys. I was in Midtown Manhattan on the 44th floor of one of the biggest international law firms. I was at the front of the largest and most impressive conference room I had ever been in. Each chair was leather, high back, and probably more expensive than all of the furniture in my house. Outside the window was the whole city, and I could see the building that my father worked in for many, many years. Had I finally made it? Around the table, there were 25 attorneys, and around them, 25 more. They were impressive. The clothes, the shoes, the smiles, all perfect. This session was also being televised to other offices around the world. And I was introduced by one of the partners, and I was on my way. I started my introduction with some statistics of engagement and how the leader's style influences that. "What makes you such an expert?" I heard one of the partners say. "Hey, what school did you go to? What proof do you have to show that that's true? Hey, that's correlational evidence. That's not causal evidence. Why should we believe you? Why are you even here? You don't deserve to be here." And there wasn't a supportive face in the crowd. Then I looked down and I realized I was wearing only a t-shirt and underwear, and I had no wallet or money to get me home. So you may be thinking, this is pretty hard to believe. This can't be true. But it is true. As a matter of fact, it has happened to me more than once. It happens in my head every time before I give a presentation. I think that this time I'm going to be exposed for a fraud. Who am I to be in front of the room getting paid to teach other people what I know? This is called imposterism, often referred to as the imposter syndrome. And imposterism is the feeling that you're a fraud and that you somehow slipped through the cracks to get where you are, that you don't deserve the success you've achieved as if you've earned it through luck. And these feelings don't only happen when you're giving presentations. It happens in meetings, in one-on-one conversations, as you go by and through your day-to-day. And studies show that about 70% of people report having imposterism. And it happens equally to both men and women. There are many potential causes for imposterism. One is the feeling that you have to be perfect, that you are the expert, and the fear that you won't live up to the expectations. It can also be feelings of inadequacy, low self-esteem, and self-doubt. So what do we do about it if we have it? Well, here are several tips. Tip number one. Well, for me, knowing that other people suffer from imposterism and knowing that I'm not alone helps. Not in a, haha, you have it too, but knowing that I'm not alone and that it's natural. So in other words, it's pretty normal to feel this way. Tip number two, I also try to take pressure off myself. For example, and those who know me may chuckle about this, but I don't expect perfection out of myself. No, not really. When I'm introduced, I ask people not to call me the expert. I put myself in the frame of mind that yes, I do have a lot of experience. And I have a lot to learn. I used to think that I needed to have all the answers. Now I say that I don't have all the answers, but I do know what many of the possibilities are. And this requires making it more about them, the people I'm interacting with, than it is about me. Tip number three. Another thing you can do is, well, get some expertise on the subject. I've taught diversity and inclusion for many years, as an example. I have certifications, and I've gone through research boot camps on the topic. And recently, I've been doing training in other countries. So do I just walk in with the tools I already have? No, I do my research. Recently, I delivered this training in Mexico, and I researched how do they define race in Mexico? What are the races in Mexico? How do they see race from the Mexican point of view? And guess what? It gave me a lot more confidence walking in and knowing that while I wasn't the expert, I was able to share what I know. Tip number four. This is a mantra I use before I deliver a workshop or go to a networking function. It's people, people, people. And I learned that in Brené Brown's book, Dare to Lead. She was getting nervous the first time she started giving keynotes at corporate functions. You know, lots of suits in the crowd. And she was given this advice. The people you are in front of are just that. They're people. People like you and me. They have lives, partners, problems. And maybe they have imposterism too. So by saying this to myself, people, people, people. I am reminding myself that they are human like me. Not only does it reduce my need, it also helps me to relate to them better too. So what has helped you combat your imposterism? What advice would you share? Please reach out to me at LinkedIn or at MendozaandObrien.com. Thanks.
Oh, wow. Another gem from Coach Larry. Wow. I mean, I am so fortunate to have Coach Larry, who is a very, very, very busy person. He's in demand. He's helping companies and people, and he develops customized programs to help individuals and large companies help train their people to be more effective and productive. And it goes well beyond training. It's coaching and development. And Larry, who I've known for over 25 years, and I've been pleased to be in business with him, he is phenomenal. You know, I'm proud to have him on the show. And I want you guys to know, if you want to engage Larry, which I highly recommend you do, just go to MendozaAndO'Brien.com. MendozaAndO'Brien.com. You go to his website, reach right out to him. You can always link in with Larry, Coach Larry O'Brien. You just look up Larry O'Brien, that easy. He delivers his programs in both English and Spanish, and he has national and international clients, and we're so proud to have him on our show. And when he talks about imposter syndrome, gosh, I mean, I say it all the time. I've had it. I felt like when I was the chief operating officer of $120 million company, I always thought, I'm an imposter. I'm a fraud. Somebody's going to find me out. And I'm just a person playing the role of a chief operating officer. This is how a person in this role with this authority should act. And I acted like that person. Apparently, I'm a good actor because it worked out pretty well for me. But very real, good, timely, relevant topic. And I appreciate Coach Larry very much. Now is a great time to listen to this message from our show sponsor. You're listening to Hard Worka with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
Oh, that's our show sponsor right there. That's Angie from Angie Staffing. Wait, hold the press. There is no Angie Staffing anymore. Guys, in December, Ascendo Resources acquired Angie Staffing. But don't fret, because Angie is still one of the managing partners of Ascendo Resources right here in Jacksonville, Florida. Call Angie, reach out to her and Ascendo Resources here in Jacksonville, because she is bringing back the hustle. I love that. Bringing back the hustle. Oh, man. Oh, wait a second, guys. I'm getting flagged down here. Josh is out today. Keith is producing the show for us. Keith, what do you got?
All right, Pete. We got an email from Vanessa. Vanessa writes, my daughter is unsure of her career path. She's currently in high school. She writes, Pete, what do you recommend I tell her?
My email's real easy. Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. Send me an email. I'll answer your email. Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. I answer them as quickly as I can. Sometimes I answer them on the air. Okay, Vanessa has a daughter that is unsure of her career path, which, you know, I don't know how old her daughter is. I don't know what her strengths and weaknesses are. I don't know all that. But I'm gonna answer this question by painting with a broad brush. You have a high school student that's, you know, uncertain of their career path. Guess what? I have one too. You know, she doesn't know exactly what she wants to do. But, you know, if you listen to what Nick said earlier, and I think that directly applies here. Nick Howland, our guest today, executive director of the Firewatch here in Jacksonville. When I said to Nick, what advice would you give 19-year-old Nick? And he thought for just a second. And one of the things he said, and it resonated with me, is, you know, you got to follow your passion. You got to do what you like, what interests you. And he had, you know, life-changing career decisions that he made. And he made the right ones, things that he was passionate about, and that's what he's doing now. I try to find, and I ask questions first of the, let's say we have a teenage daughter in this case, you know, what do you like? You know, what are you thinking about? What are you considering? you know? And you just find out a lot when you ask questions. If you spoon feed or try to herd them like what do you call those border collies or something? You know, they ask questions that kind of push you in a certain direction, like nudge you. Get away from the nudge. You know, you got to have a real, real open mind. And what are your interests? Let's talk about your interests. You know, it might not be following in your footsteps or going down the path that you might want for them. You know, you want them to be successful, but ultimately you want them to feel fulfilled. You want them to be able to you know, live a healthy and happy life. And a lot of that, you know, money isn't everything. But I'll tell you, if you earn a certain amount of money, it affords you some of the luxuries that maybe you didn't have as a child. Or, you know, you don't want to have a lot of limiting things based on your career selection is what I say, especially with people that you know, at this age, you have a lot of options. You know, the world is everything. It's wide open. So think about what's going to make her and ask her what would make her feel fulfilled. And I ask, you know, then you can kind of get into your leading questions. Do you like helping people? Okay, now you're starting to think, you know, and do you like helping people that are hurt, maybe, you know, that might be a health care? Do you like, you know, being on the front end of that and preventing people from getting hurt in any, and when I say hurt, I'm not just talking about physically, there's a lot of different ways. Maybe there's proactive things, you know, mental health counseling, maybe, you know, a police officer, a law enforcement. There's a lot of different things. And then ultimately, you know, for some people, like me, the military was probably the best solution for someone like me. There's so many different career paths. There's free training. And when I graduated with my undergraduate degree, I was in the Navy. I went to night school, and I worked full time, but I went to college nights and weekends. And it took me almost 6 years to earn my bachelor's degree. But when I was done, I didn't have any student loan debt, thanks to the Navy. The Navy paid 75% of my tuition. I paid for my books, and as long as I got a B or better, they paid that 75%. If I got a bad grade, they're not going to reimburse you for doing crappy, but I didn't get too crappy. I mean, I graduated with a 339 overall and a 38 plus in my major, and I thank the United States Navy. So the military offers great careers for people as well. So I tell Vanessa is just ask your daughter questions. Ask her a lot of questions. And then if you still need some help and guidance, like I'm going to tell you, if she's good in math, and she wants to continue her education, a math degree is opening doors. Guys, as you heard Nick say too, we were talking about data, however you want to say it. Data is king right now, and math and algorithms and advanced mathematics is everywhere in every profession. So math is once again sexy, folks. But I would ask, I would tell Vanessa, ask, get to know her, see what her strengths are, and you can always reach out to Pete at PeteTheJobGuy.com, and I'm happy to have a conversation with her personally. All right. Well, this next part of the show is one of my favorite parts of the show. This is where we get a Boston update from Boston Danny, and this is done for my edification. You know, that's why I originally had Boston Danny on the show, but people love this segment. It's funny. Boston Danny will tell us about the weather. He'll brag about his sports teams. But one of the other things that he does, and you listeners, you send me so much email on this, it's great. Boston Danny gives shout-outs. So if you have a birthday, an anniversary, or somebody has a special accomplishment, excuse me, and they, you just want to recognize them for it, send me an email at Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. I'll give it to Boston Danny. And Boston Danny will do a shout-out, a wicked pissa shout-out, live on the radio for you. And with no further ado, let's get this week's Boston update from Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here with your Northern update. Well, let me start with the weather. Again, you know, I fixated on that all the time, but we've been doing pretty good up here. I hope I'm not jinxing anything, but we've had a real mild winter for ourselves. We haven't had a lot of snow. We haven't had a lot of fierce weather coming through. We've had the cold temperatures, but the past week, we've been getting some 60-degree temperatures. But the only thing that knocks it down for us is, you know, we get the wind. So the wind just takes it down a little bit. Even though, it's 60 out, it feels like it's in the 30s to 40s, but it depends. It's been pretty fierce. We've had a lot of downed wire lines, and we've had our fun with it. But you know, we feel we've turned the corner. We get the freezing temperatures behind us, hopefully, and you know, we're gonna take it through like that. And then, you know, everything else going on up here, everyone's on everybody's mind is what Tom Brady's going to do. Very entertaining. You know, there's a lot of rumors circulating around, some rift between him and Bill Belichick and this and that. We go for it for entertainment. We hope he's back. We can use him. But whoever slots in there, we'll do all right for ourselves. We got a good team going. Everybody up here is kind of watching what the Bruins are doing. We're getting down to the last games of the seasons. We're getting to know these teams. You know, we just passed two games with Tampa Bay. We're getting to feel them out. We always see those guys in the playoffs. So it's good to get them in the regular seasons and, you know, figure out their numbers and get us going for what we are. The Celtics, you know, we're in the running. We're doing our thing. We're watching them. And, you know, they always do these late season trades. It's hard to see how it works out for them, but it always keeps it interesting. And then, you know, I'm watching my Red Sox. They just seem like they're floating around out there without their helm going pretty. You know, they don't have a direction, but they'll pull it out. They'll get it going for us, and we'll be contenders, and everyone gets to watch it. It's just a good way to spend an afternoon in the summer out in the backyard while you're listening to a game, lolling around the pool and all that. So get your birthday shout-outs in. Peter gets them to me. I'll come up and mangle them on you. You know, I like to give you guys wicked piss of birthdays and shout-outs. Remember, do it for yourself, folks. It's your birthday. If nobody else is, it's going to be. So I want to wish wicked happy birthdays to Kelly Mantle, Eric Murray, and that's from his friends that call him the E-Money. Happy birthday. Matt McClure, Jack Bobek, and an extra piss of birthday to Lloyd Corcelli. Hope I said that right, brother. That's how we say it up here. And as always, we give a special shout out for our first responders and peacekeepers and our military servicemen and women. Brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, have a great Sunday. Peter, I'll be talking to you. Keep it real, guys.
Another gem from Boston. Danny, well, that music tells us we've come to the end of the show. You've just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV. Do the hustle.